At this time, let us sing our hymn of faith. It is called My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. We will sing verses 1 and 2 of this hymn, and it is found on page number 405 for those of you who wish to follow along on the red hymnal. So let us sing.
Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the three Gospels that share a lot of common material. They are known as the Synoptic Gospels, and they share quite a bit about what Jesus taught and what Jesus did. In the Gospel of John, written later, John focuses more on who Jesus is. And as we look at hear and look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, we get a sense of who Jesus is. And then throughout the gospel, he shares the seven I am statements describing for us who he is, as well as seven signs and miracles to speak about who Jesus is. So let us read John 1, 1 through 18. In beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." And from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Before this faith came, we were held prisoners by the law, locked up until faith should be revealed. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the written scriptures. We thank you for the revelation, and we thank you for this reading from John that is the foundational work of who Jesus is. Lord, I pray in this time of teaching, we would grow and deepen our faith to glorify you in our daily lives. In Christ we pray, amen. How many of you have ever visited or seen the Continental Divide? A few. I mean, it's really spectacular. I mean, you only really know it's there because you see some markers. We have seen it in Montana. The Continental Divide, it's a continuous ridge of mountains running north and south across western North America. The Continental Divide divides the continent's principal water drainage. In the United States, east of the divide, all the rivers flow to the Mississippi and to the Rio Grande rivers. West of the divide, all the rivers and water flow towards the Pacific Ocean. In the western United States, the Continental Divide runs along the crest of the Rocky Mountains through the states of Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico. The Continental Divide represents a line of demarcation, waters flowing east or west. The divide is a point of separation. For many people, New Year's Eve represents a line of demarcation, the old and the new, separating the hopes of the new year from the realities of what we've lived through in the past year. If you listen to any of the televised New Year's Eve broadcast tonight, I'm sure that you'll hear many allusions to 2024 being a new start, a chance to change, an appeal for better days ahead. Now, it's good to hear such optimism. It's good to have positive outlooks. We all have hopes and we all have dreams that we desire to be fulfilled. New Year's Eve represents a line of demarcation, the separation from the old to the new. What do these two things have to do with the Gospel of John? I want to share and focus in on an even greater line of demarcation for us, and that demarcation is the coming of the Son of God into the world. In the coming of Jesus to the earth, a line of separation is revealed as we read Scripture. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, as John the Baptist is speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he pointedly says to them, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The wheat and the chaff are going to be separated. Believers in Christ and non-believers are going to be separated because Jesus Christ has that line of separation in the final day." Through the parable of the weeds, Jesus explains to his disciples in Matthew 13, 40, "As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." And the aspect of this time of separation for those who are seeking the righteousness through Jesus Christ or those who are being led by the evilness of the world. Let us pray for the good hearing and listening to the truth of God's word as we move in to 2024. For John 14:6 says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through the passage of John chapter 1, we read this morning, we are giving great truths and knowledge about Jesus, the only begotten Son of the Father. And so I want to highlight some of the key things of this passage, realizing that we could spend days on these 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The more I study about how we think, how our personalities react, how our memories work, I think, you know, when I was 16, I figured everybody thought like I did. Evidently, I learned later that's not the case. Not everybody has my same personality or the things that stick out in my memory. How many of you remember where you were or who was reading John 1:1 to you the first time you heard it? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, I'm sure I heard it in my younger days, but I never paid attention until I took New Testament at Defiance College, and the professor just revealed what the depth of this meant. In the beginning, going all the way back to the book of Genesis, which begins in the beginning. So John does not begin with the birth of Jesus as Matthew and Luke share the Christmas story. John doesn't do that. But he goes all the way back to the beginning of creation and ties it all together through Jesus Christ our Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And in the NIV, and most versions of the Scriptures, Word has a capital W to begin with. And that Word in the Greek is Logos, and the Word and the Logos stand for Jesus Christ. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning. The foundational aspect of who Jesus is was laid out even in Genesis, because Jesus as God was there in the creation of the world. And we begin to understand the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, from the beginning of all time. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Anything that we create, anything that we accomplish as we glorify God comes from Jesus Christ. And that's why we are called to be humble. In his life, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Both a natural light, but also the spiritual light. The spiritual light that a Christian has in their heart that separates us from the darkness of the world. And this is probably why I chose to look at this passage on this particular Sunday as the world gets set to celebrate New Year's Eve. I think I have good reason this year to just stay home and do nothing except sleep and watch some football and take it easy. But normally that's what I want to do every Christmas Eve. I am not big into parties and I'm not big into all the revelry. I keep telling my wife, someday I want to be in Times Square on New Year's Eve. I don't ever really want to do that, but I'd really like to be there and just be amazed at the behavior of people. Christians have the spiritual light of Jesus Christ, and there is a clear demarcation through the study of a scripture of how what activities we should involve ourselves in on such night as New Year's Eve. The light of Jesus Christ is so bright, it separates from the darkness of the world. When people talk to me about how Satan has attacked them and Satan has done this in their life and they're trapped, I always remind them that the light of Jesus Christ is stronger than any darkness Satan can bring. And the closer we walk with Jesus Christ, that light in our hearts and our minds, will push away the darkness of the world. We must recognize that in Jesus was life, and he was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Darkness has not understood the light because the light pushes the darkness away, and the darkness doesn't get its way in our lives. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. John, describing who Jesus is, puts in an historical note that John the Baptist really existed. And there are other documents out there that talk about John the Baptist, that there are people that believe the Bible is nothing but a story, nothing but myth. But there are enough historical evidences in the scriptures that remind us it is the true word of God. And John came as a witness. And as a witness, it meant John committed himself. He committed himself to being a witness of the light of Jesus Christ. And as we commit ourselves to Jesus, we are committing ourselves to be a witness of his light and his glory and his love in our daily lives. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. If you've been here in other Sundays on December, the aspect of, you know, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, came in God's way, not necessarily how people expected. They were looking for a military king, a power king. Should have been born in a palace, but he wasn't. And so the world missed out on the aspects because they didn't recognize Jesus for who he was. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Many think it's talking that John is talking about Israel, the Jews, that they did not recognize Jesus, their Messiah, but it goes much larger than that. Because in our day, there are still plenty of people that do not recognize Jesus as the Son of God, as our Lord and Savior. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And when we recognize that we are born of God, we're going to do exactly what Nancy shared in the children's message. That we are going to recognize the gifts that God has given us, and we are going to use those gifts for the glory of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus lived with us. He lived on the earth. And Jesus lives with us now through the presence of the Holy Spirit. That there can never be a time where we are totally alone, because Jesus promises to be with us always to the end of the age. When we are struggling, when we're grieving, when we're lonely, when we're not thinking right, even in that times, those times, the light shines and Jesus is with us. He lives within us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And in our reading from Galatians 3, the law came through Moses. Grace and truth comes to us through Jesus Christ. The law is still there for us, but the law cannot forgive us. It is the grace and truth of Jesus Christ who we confess to, who we repent, and we are saved through that grace and truth of Jesus Christ. John testifies concerning him in that aspect of, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. On earth, who was born first? John, and then Jesus. Because he was before me, John the Baptist knows that Jesus was from God in the very beginning, is God. And so again, the testimony of John was making sense to the people who heard his preaching. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That is that demarcation that happens. For those who come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are separated from the law because we have the grace and truth. It is the old covenant giving way to the new covenant. In the sacrament of communion, we recognize the new covenant shed through the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. That is a demarcation for Christians. It is through the grace and truth of Jesus Christ. And finally, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Because Jesus is God, as we read and study about Jesus, we come to know God himself, because Jesus came to make him known. And may you know him even more in the coming year. Amen. Going back to verse 16 in John 1, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. In our worship of God, we recognize those blessings, and we have this time in our time of worship to return some of those blessings to the ministry of the kingdom. So I invite our ushers to come forward and receive our offerings. Gracious Lord God, we do thank you for the many blessings you shower upon us. And Lord, as we look to today and look to the future, we thank you that you are walking with us. Help us to walk with you and in your love. Lord, we pray that you would receive these offerings and receive us, that we would continue to build up the ministry of your kingdom here on earth. For your glory and your light prevail. Amen.
At this time, let us sing our closing hymn. It is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. For those of you who would like to follow along in the red hymnal, it is page number 354. We will then have our spoken benediction and then our benediction in song. It is Go Now and Live for the Savior, and that is found on page number 610. So let us sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
This benediction word from Revelation 7:12. Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.